The Shared Desk, Episode 11.
And we're back.
Yeah, it feels so nice to be podcasting right now.
Ah, oh, it's bliss.
Oh, absolute shit. Although I do sound a wee bit raw. I still sound a little raw.
A little raw, Timur. I'm sure people enjoy that.
It's the sensitive voice in me. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for being so patient. This is The Shared Desk. I am T. Morris.
And I'm Philippa Valentine.
And it feels really good to be back. So let's explain exactly what happened. A lot of stuff has happened.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, we can sort of do the whole recap at the beginning of the show of what we have been doing for the past, what, has it been 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's been three weeks. We skipped a week.
Yeah, we did.
Did you miss us, everyone?
I think they did, even though the chatter was quiet on Twitter. So what happened? Well, first, Sonic Boom got sick.
Yeah.
Then Pip got sick.
And then it finally caught up with you.
And then it caught up with me.
Were hacking, and it was very unpleasant. I wanted to hear that.
Yeah. You got
plus, we could barely... for like 3-4 days, I just couldn't move.
Yeah, I just...
And then the week after, you suddenly appreciated what I felt like, because you felt like it.
The thing I love, yes, the thing I love about school-bred germs...
What am I supposed to do? You won't answer my calls, you change your number. I'm not going to be ignored.
They did not want to be ignored.
No, it did not. It was just, wow.
But from what I've heard from various friends, podcasters,
going
writers,
around.
There's a lot of it going
around.
So.
Yeah.
Hello. You just killed your mic.
Did I just kill my mic? There we go. And then
stop fiddling with it. Leave it alone. You'll go blind.
I like fiddling with it. Oh, wow. Of course, there's a short... Well, the good news is I am not short on cables, but wow, that's a new thing. The other big news, it's on its way to press now.
Yeah.
The Janus Affair.
Yeah, can't do anything about it now.
No. It's
we got the final line edits, and we got our dedication in on the nick of time.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah!
And we got it in on time, and so we're very happy with the final result.
Yeah,
the final work that is the Janus Affair.
I think people are going to enjoy it. We've been able to pass out a few cover flats. We went to a. I guess it's now our regular, semi-regular writing group that we're...
Well, it's going to be regular for you. It's semi-regular for me until I find out what's going on with my...
We're just going to appreciate your presence for while we can. But, we were able to hand out a few cover flats, and that felt nice, and people are digging the cover. I like the cover so much with the flying hair.
Oh, it's great. It is great.
They're on an airship, and can we give them a little tease what they can expect?
Yeah, sure. Go on ahead. Knock yourself out.
It's more explosions, chases.
More explosions, more chases.
More suffragettes. Now with 100% more suffragettes.
Not just suffragettes, but steampunk.
Steampunk
suffragettes.
Yeah.
We're very happy. This is also more about Wellington and Eliza.
Mm-hmm.
There's more about the characters. You find out more about Wellington. You find out a lot more about Eliza.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a more
it's
a better rounded
yeah.
it's a better rounded book. I mean, granted, you should get better with each book you do.
Hope not to get worse.
Yeah, it stands to reason.
I think the freedom of the second book is that you've done a lot of the world building and the character, so you're just filling out, embroidering, making it a little bit more real. And I really enjoy the second book.
Yeah, and we're very jazzed about it. We're jazzed about the way the book wrapped up, mm-hmm. where it leaves us.
Yes, and... which may or may not. Okay, it's a cliffhanger.
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
I would agree with Mr. Stark.
It's also how New Zealand does it.
Yeah,
and, the old cliffhanger.
It really did.
Three times the New Zealanders in there.
Three times the New Zealanders, and we also get a little more of the international feel.
Mm-hmm.
because we bring
Sophia in other characters. Sophia Del Monte. Somebody tweeted me and said, more Sophia.
More
yes,
Sophia.
Yes, there's more Sophia.
Yes, there's more Sophia. There's even more Agent Brandon Hill.
There is.
Yeah. And we're hopefully, I'm hoping, that we're going to get more of Agent Brandon Hill in Volume 2 of Tales from the Archives. We're starting to ramp that machine up.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking about doing was approaching Brandon, if he's listening, Brandon Hill.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. And
put down that monkey knife fight. Yeah.
Well, actually, I was thinking if he could do those little segments that he's been doing for the blog lately, found on ministryofpeculiarcurrences.com, and just record them. That would make great filler for any of the times
we could put them in there.
That we can't, when we cannot start producing.
Yeah, anyone,
on a
anyone who wonders what we're talking about, if you go to Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences and check out the blog, there's a category there called from Angel Brandon Hill.
From the memoirs of Agent.
From the memoirs of Agent Brandon
Hill. My time with the llamas.
The time with the llamas, and by that he actually means the llamas.
Oh,
but yes, he's been writing a little extracts from his from his memoirs.
Yeah.
So thus adding up to the wonderful world of the ministry.
So we've been sick, we've been busy, we have been productive. We're unhatching a few
we've
plots.
Dusted the house more than
now my office is next.
Yeah, it's not looking too bad. It's not the worst it's ever looked.
Not bad at all. I can actually see the floor. And now we get to we've been kind of by the way, before I forget, I can't remember if it was Logan Waterman or someone else, but whomever it was that sent those wonderful sound clips for the drop-ins, I'm really
somebody
sorry.
Somebody sent you drop-ins?
Someone sent me drop-ins from The Tick.
Oh, okay.
And
we'll forgive you then.
And I've lost them.
Oh.
This is the worst moment of my entire life.
So they'll just have to resend them.
Please do a resend. Please do a resend. Because, now granted, I know I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of this one.
Bite my sweet ass. Right.
Yeah, but
you're not going to find that on the Tick.
No, you're not going to find that.
Although that would be funny as The Tick. Bite the Tick.
Although you can bite my sweet ass. But yeah. But
so
no.
So resend them, whoever you were, a kind
them.
Person.
And if you've got high quality MP3s from your favorite movies or favorite TV shows, I'm currently in search for stuff from The Big Bang.
Yes, that's freaky. I was just thinking that.
Yeah, I know. I
stop doing that.
But see, right now I would say, something bazinga. But instead, all I got is this.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. And when I do, it's usually something unusual.
That kind of captures the feel of Bazinga, but I would really like to have a Bazinga
okay. Back
bomb.
Away from the drop-ins, slowly. So the other thing we have been working on that we can't reveal too much about it, but we've been working on some steampunk fairy tales.
Yeah. I've been very They're proud.
That's June next very week, so we've got to finish those off.
We're on deadline, but we're taking some time out to chat with you guys.
Procrastination.
We can talk a little bit about the title of it, can't we?
You're working on Aladdin.
Yeah.
And I'm working on a Wild Swans, which is one of the, for some reason people, I say, I'm working on a steampunk version of Wild Swans. People go, what?
Yeah.
Look at your hands, Christian Anderson, folks. You'll find out.
So we have a lot on the plate, but we're still taking some time to get back into the whole podcasting this year.
Oh, look, Nick. there's a little.
Hi, Nick. Yeah. But what brings us to the here and now? Originally, we were going to do a show on Scrivener, and maybe, depending on if anything else comes up in the news, we may still do Scrivener.
Yeah, we keep
Scrivener
getting interrupted
show 12.
By crap that writers keep pulling.
Yeah,
just go, I can't.
I mean,
not talk about that.
So instead of making it a seriously rant, I think we're just going to just dedicate the entire show to this. Pip, bring us up to speed. What exactly came across your desk or your side of the your side of the
my
show
shirt,
desk?
My shirt, yeah.
When you know.
Well, I keep.
Not you, Nick.
That's not a commentary on things. I do keep a reader, Google Reader feed on what's going on in the writer's world because sometimes we've got our head down that we, don't. But apparently, hopefully you and listeners are familiar with the site Goodreads, which is one of the biggest sites for readers and writers to connect. It's got lots of forums.
Just a moment. Didn't Goodreads Didn't Goodreads name Phoenix Rising one of the
top
10 for best science fiction of 2011?
Why, yes, sir, they did.
Find out more at Goodreads.com.
Obviously, these are people with fine tastes.
Exactly.
it's a huge place for readers and writers to connect. There's forums.
Right.
There's people rate
we
books, talk
have
about
a forum
books.
There.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
we do. And it's a great place. And authors have come around to the fact that it's a great place for them to go and talk However, they also, maybe they're not quite prepared for people talking about their books in a negative way. apparently, a flame war erupted recently on Goodreads. Okay. This is back in mid-January, we were sort of catching up, because we were going to do a bit of a talk about how to deal with reviews. And then this came up. And I saved this article because I was like, hey, this is not how to deal with them. It started off when somebody reviewed a book by a Costa winner, whatever kind of reward that is, Moira Young. And he wrote this scorching review of this book. And it all started off this apparently heated discussion about...
Spirited.
And then there was another, a bit of a snarky review apparently of this book called Tempest by Judy Cross, who's a YA novelist. I think she might even be an ACE author, I think. I've seen her books talked about. She's got some really cool covers. They're kind of very different. I like them. Anyway, apparently the book caused this huge outrage, because I think the book bloggers especially hang out at Goodreads and they post their reviews not only on their sites but on Goodreads.
Which makes sense.
And as we know, the book bloggers have a significant impact, especially in the YA genre, where younger readers love reading reviews and they can have a lot of sway for people. But one of the things that happened was that not only the author's friends got involved, but also her agent.
Have I got your attention now?
Okay.
And so even while the author, Julie Cross, apparently responded rather gracefully to all these things, it went seriously downhill from that. And then other YA authors and other agents went onto Twitter and there was this huge about, you don't appreciate what we're doing. We're helping you make you, you know, make you famous. And how dare you be so snarky? And I don't know.
So basically these are the agents. These are agents.
And friends of the author.
Friends of the author all rallying around the author who handled it who handled this bad review gracefully.
Yeah.
And that was what started this.
Yeah,
this,
and the book bloggers took serious offense, and I can understand why, because they felt that they have a right to express an opinion.
Of course.
And even though Julie didn't sick her friends on them, so to speak, the fact that her agent and her friends got piled onto this book blogger's review, I mean, did not look good.
I mean, yeah, I can understand. I mean, I've had people do pile-ons of bad reviews, but for the agent to get involved,
wrong answer.
That just makes no sense to me whatsoever, because that's just bad business. Now, okay, so let's talk about reviews. All right, the first thing that I think that people who want to become writers or who are writers, they got to accept the fact that their work is not a sacred cow, that their work is not going to please everyone.
I mean,
when Phoenix Rising came out, we have run the entire gamut, I believe, with reviews, from people saying it's definitive steampunk to it's
dribble.
It's dribble. Yeah, exactly. Now,
does it sting?
Does it? Yes. Yeah, it stings. Of course, it stings. I mean, it sucks when people tell you, you know, I mean, the way I like to sum up a review is, you know, you pour your heart and your soul and roughly about a year's worth of time into a book, into a single novel.
And of course you want everyone to like it.
Right. And then you get that one Yahoo that comes to you at a con and goes, yeah, I read your book in 3 hours. Let me tell you what's wrong with it. And I'm like, really? Really, Sparky?
Oh, you've encountered people.
Yes, I have. And I just go, okay. And now there are two ways you can handle bad reviews. One way is to explode all over
the interwebs.
The interwebs. And then there's the high road. But you need to accept whether you want to explode or whether you want to take the high road. The point of the matter is that no one is going to unanimously like a book.
No.
It can be anything from I met the author once and I didn't like him to bad first impressions. Yeah. And it's one of the reasons why there's a current book that's out now called The Night Circus.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, mainly because I'm worried.
You got DM spammed.
I got DM spam in the worst possible way about this book. And I'm afraid that's going to taint my initial impression.
You need
of
to let book. That sting die away.
So once it tones down, I'll be able to sit down and go, okay, I'm ready to read this book.
One of the book bloggers, apparently Book Lantern, said, I've seen way more readers turned off books by author behavior than by bad reviews.
And it's no different than, I mean, if you really want to look at bad behavior and how it reflects on what that artist does, do not look any further than Tom Cruise. I mean, Tom Cruise had that complete.
He exploded all over Oprah's stage.
And then Mission Impossible 3 came out. Now, arguably, Mission Impossible 3 is the best of all the Mission Impossible movies. Now, Ghost Protocol was awfully good. You and I saw that. Yeah. We saw it on IMAX. It was a lot of fun. But Mission Impossible 3 was so much better than Mission Impossible 2. You know, and I'm getting there. Don't worry. But the problem was, and even Paramount, you know, when they did their surveys and they said, you know, are you going to go to this film? A lot of people said no.
Because Tom Cruise scares me.
Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise crazy, as Joko has sung before.
Yeah.
And so there you go. I mean, you've got you have, as the book bloggers say, because of bad behavior from authors behaving badly, stuff that we talk about on Seriously, that can really affect the way your work is perceived. But going back to bad reviews, they're going to happen, and in my opinion, they actually legitimize what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because
well, can I interrupt your flow there for a second?
You go right ahead.
I'm going to. I've actually heard somebody say
because
that...
Because you are so good at it.
Oh, shit.
I know you mean to be friendly, but I hope you won't take it amiss if I ask you to sod off and die.
You have the floor.
No, I was going to say hit number six.
What? Oh.
Bite my sweet ass. Right.
Yeah, you really hate these drop-ins.
Yeah, I'm getting used to that one. Anyway, what I was going to say is I have actually heard people say that when I read reviews in Amazon, I like to see a range. If I go in and I see all 5-star reviews, I am assuming that author's organized her friends or the friends have gone along and just blatantly given it 5 stars. If I see a range, there's some 1 stars, there's some 4 stars, there's some 5 stars, then it makes me feel a bit better about the fact that it's not just a con job.
Right. Now, I will say this, since we know the bad reviews is part of the business. I think also part of the business, too, is an agent that's responsible enough to not attack book bloggers. I'm astounded that agents got involved in this. Now, one of our biggest cheerleaders is Lori McLean. She's been on the show. She's our agent of awesome. If she did that, I would take the first flight to San Francisco, hunt her down in her log cabin, and spank her ass. Because... You just don't know that will not stand. Will not stand. I don't. And
it's not the it's
as
not
an
the,
author.
It's not the agent's role to do that.
No, it's not. And as an author, I would go into the agent. And I'd be like, what in God's name are you doing?
Yes.
And if I was
stick to your job, which is selling books.
Yeah. You sell books. I'll deal with the great unwashed. Not that we don't love our great unwashed. We love our great unwashed. But the. Why agents were getting involved? I'm still trying to understand. I'm still trying to grasp that happened. Now, I would also argue though that the reasons why agents are involved and the way authors react is that book bloggers tend to be in a different class than the Amazon reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Some Amazon reviews, and again, this goes back to not just the 5 stars, but the 5 stars as well. You know, when I see a 5-star review and says this book is great, I loved it.
Yeah, I'd rather have something more detailed.
Yeah, I want something a little more detailed.
Even if it was a little bit more critical.
I mean, I have heard stories about how there have been some publishing houses, and you know, I can't corroborate this. I've just heard about it.
Yeah.
But I've heard that there are interns that are hired to go on Amazon and either give the 5 stars and a quick review or 1 star and a quick bad review. And then that's it.
That's ouch. much.
Yeah, it's kind of hinky. It's kind of hinky. But they're, well, that, they're,
that was
playing,
one of the that was one of the things
numbers.
That came up in this whole flame war.
Really,
was that they were talking about? Let me just get back to the bit here where they were saying the bloggers were saying that people were trying to, you know, raise up certain authors.
They were trying to game the system. But and that's what separates book bloggers from a lot of the Amazon reviewers, and to some extent some of the Goodreads reviewers too. Because book bloggers are the only thing that book bloggers, as far as we know, their vested interest is reading good books.
Mm-hmm.
And on a whole, I would say the book bloggers that got their hands on Phoenix Rising really enjoyed the book.
Yeah.
Not all of them did. But did I go after them? Even the bad reviews, I said
like,
to them,
"You know what? I took the time to read it. I mean,
yeah, the
rise of the book blogger has meant that people who were just, you know, doing a few books for fun have been swamped by arcs and people wanting to do book tours and all sorts of things all over their sites. So if someone has pulled your book out of their TBR pile, to be read pile,
yes,
and actually bothered to read it, even if they give you a bad review, that's still their time that they have taken
out.
It's
a review. A review. And
as one of the another book blogger, apparently the Bookworm, said that these YA authors and agents who took it to Twitter as well. They didn't just keep it to Goodreads.
Of course
they went
to
the Twitter, said that they were sneering at the people who make their ing books reach the New York Times bestseller. It is actually starred out, so I can't say.
And yet, you know, there is truth in that.
Yeah.
There is truth in that. You know, you're biting the hand that feeds you. You know, you're expecting that if you give somebody a free book, you're going to get a good review. Well, you know what?
I've
never thought that either. I mean, I know we've been given bad reviews and then interviewed by the same blog, you know? Yeah. And
see, the thing I like, our friend of the show, Odin Wadai, he's been reviewing not only podcasts, now he's doing books.
Oh yeah.
And he says that it's going to be an honest review. He wants to write a good review, but he's not going to like sugarcoat it if he doesn't enjoy it.
And I think if authors are wanting, you know, the sugarcoated review, then I'm sure that if they were to buy sponsorship, if they were to invest in some ads, whether it's on book blogs or others, I'm sure they could get a great review. But you know what? Instead of buying a review, why don't you go on ahead and just, you know, let the chips fall?
Yeah.
And if you get a bad review, you know, they're even, and this is something I learned when I was a webmaster at a theater company. We got a horrible review for this one show, and it was up to me to find the gem pull quote. And sure enough, I found it, and we plastered it everywhere. And the director came up to me and said, good call. And even out of the worst review, you could probably find a gem somewhere. You could find a gem that you can massage into the perfect pull quote.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're looking for pull quotes, I mean, you're not going to get people just telling you how awesome you are.
It's like any creative endeavor.
It's any performing art. People are either going to dig you or they're not going to dig you.
But I think the important thing in this day and age is, you know, don't cut off your nose to spite your face.
Right.
Don't go after these young people. Often the book bloggers are younger readers who are passionate about reading. Don't go out there and poison the water for them and put them off reading and put them off supporting authors.
Right.
Because you're putting the stick in the spoke in the wheel for everybody. Because,
You could easily turn off a book blogger
and
you're going to lose that review.
Oh, and they're very tight. All the book bloggers tend to know each other or comment on each other's book blog posts. So
they are a mafia family, the book bloggers. I mean, they are a boardwalk empire.
So once you start a flame war, you start with all of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's much better just to, if someone gives you a bad review, let it slide. It's their opinion.
Let it slide. So going even deeper, let's talk a little about, taking the fight to Twitter, taking the fight to Facebook. All right. Are we back in high school? Are we back in high school? Oh, I saw that you were on that book blogger. You're siding with the book blogger, so we're not friends anymore. I'm going to block you. I'm going to drop you off Facebook. Really, Tex? Well, you know what? I think we're going to live.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
it's like shifting the fight for across to yeah. playground into the school,
into the school
on the front, on the front.
Then all of a sudden, it becomes West Side Story. You know, why are you even just throwing more gasoline on that fire?
Yeah.
And when you start standing up to the people that are reviewing the books, you got to consider this too. They could easily go, fine, and they put your name in that little special pile.
Yes, I will not read anything of yours again.
Right. And that means, that doesn't necessarily mean, well, no, you've lost that reader. You've lost that reviewer.
Yeah.
That's that one person that you might have
hoped. They might have wanted to give your next book a try, and you've poisoned the well.
You've poisoned that well. And taking it to another platform, taking it to Twitter, taking it to Facebook.
It's pointless.
You know what? Social networks are not your therapist's couch. You don't want to basically, you know, vent all this pent up frustration you have because these book blogger or book bloggers didn't like your book.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
the only time I would comment on it, something on Amazon or something on someone's reviewed it on their blog is if they have a question, like they say, I wonder when the next book's coming out.
Right.
I've been on and said, thanks for the review. The next book's coming out in May 2012. And they appreciate that.
Now, I will say, when is it a good time to question a book review? Okay.
Mm.
Here's my little personal thing. My personal thing about calling a book reviewer onto the carpet is when they get personal. And
yeah.
I mean deeply personal. There are certain lines that I think authors should draw in the sand.
Yeah.
That if they start getting nasty, so nasty in their reviews that they're criticizing not the book,
but
the person
yeah.
behind the book, that's when I go, okay.
Well, on Amazon you can report that.
Yes,
and that is abuse,
even
really.
Then. Yeah, I mean, like there was a review that I really reacted to strongly on Phoenix Rising when they were talking about how the book promoted statutory rape.
Oh yes.
Now that crossed the line with me. That crossed the line with me on many fronts because I'm a dad, and I'm a dad of a beautiful little girl. And I'm sorry, but when you're saying that I'm promoting statutory rape, that really just
yeah.
that goes into a
well,
whole
that shows
different
a whole
zone.
That shows a whole different remarkable different levels of ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah. In there. And it was interesting we didn't say anything about it though. But I noticed a couple of people that we knew did.
Yes.
And that was okay because they weren't jumping on and saying you ignoramus, which would have been perfectly acceptable.
Right.
But they said if you read the book, you'd see that it was blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Something, something, something. Statutory rape. You're completely off the base. Something, something, something. And then on top of that, that's when you
It's like saying Roots promotes slavery.
Yeah. You know, or, you know, Pearl Harbor promotes war. You know, I mean, books on Pearl Harbor. So you have to decide where those boundaries are set for yourself. And then there are going to be those bad reviews that you have to look at them on a whole and go, okay, do they say anything constructive?
Yeah.
Do they say anything?
Because sometimes you can pick up things that are useful and you can use later on in your writing.
And in some bad reviews, if you get a string of bad reviews,
mm-hmm.
there might be something into those bad reviews.
Yeah.
You might have to see a constant threat.
Yeah, if there's a constant thread, then you got to think about it.
And I'll call it on Phoenix Rising. One of the constant threads that I've seen in most of the more critical reviews has been the editing.
Yeah.
And part of that was because we wanted to get it out quickly.
It did come out quickly.
This time around, we got an extra
round.
Yeah,
I feel a lot tighter
about
it. And
the editing was a lot smoother, and I felt that we addressed that. It was a constant thread. We learned from it as writers. We're moving to the next book. And it's also the same things with good reviews. What do you find in good reviews?
Mm.
Well, there's got to be a constant thread. Like you said, when a good review, I get a 5-star review, oh, this was a great book, I loved it.
Why?
I
like the
why,
well. I think you know? If you're going to say the bad things about Phoenix, right, I would
yeah.
say that the characterizations of people is something that people really liked. Eliza, they really like Wellington.
Yeah,
they a lot of people say it's like a movie.
Right, which is great.
It's an action movie. Yeah, so I think you can draw from both good and bad.
Right, and we knew going into the second book, okay, these are the things that people liked.
Yes.
So let's play up on
people
that
said,
a little more.
We want more Sophia Del Morte.
So we brought in some more Sophia Del Morte.
We love the snappy dialogue. Right. And so the more snappy dialogue, right. More Sophia Del Morte.
And, you know, I mean, we're not necessarily pandering to the people's
Plus interest. Those are things we like doing, so.
Right, you know, I mean, we want to know because really – book bloggers, book reviewers in general, they bring feedback, critical feedback, constructive feedback. They bring feedback. It means people are reading.
Mm.
And
I think they're right. The fact that they are helping these people
right.
get to the New York Times, have careers in writing.
So advice to authors concerning this. First off, if your agent steps in to the battle,
have a talk with them.
You need to have a come to Jesus talk with that person. You need to sit down and go, wait a minute. Wait.
You are an agent, not a publicist.
No. Yeah, exactly.
A publicist would know better than to do that.
And
anyway.
Even a publicist wouldn't do that. Exactly.
No, they
even
would,
a publicist wouldn't do
they
that.
They would find a more positive way around yeah, it
they'd
rather
spin
than hacking
it.
Yeah.
They'd spin it. The second thing. You know, accept the fact that when you release your work into the wild,
mm-hmm.
you know, people are going to either love it or they're going to hate it.
George
you know?
Lucas.
Don't. No, please.
This is the worst moment of my entire life.
Well, yeah.
But yes,
yeah.
To a certain extent, once you release something into the wild, it no longer completely belongs to you. You still hold the copyright to it.
Yes.
But people can read it, make their own informed opinions about it, and talk about it.
Exactly.
And at least they're talking about it.
That's what you want. I mean, represent Oscar Wilde. Yes. Remember the immortal words of Oscar Wilde. There's one thing worse than being talked about.
That is not being talked about.
Me and my triple bow cravat.
From Oscar Wilde, Superfly.
I mean, but so that's
And make friends with book bloggers. They don't have to be your enemies. We've got a couple of really
Should we give
good...
a shout out? Should we give a shout out to our girl Mel?
Mel.
We love you, Mel. Oh. I mean, this was a book blogger who had never heard of podcasts.
No.
And she hung out with us. Well, there's the problem.
Mel's blog is my world in words and sorry.
Check the show notes.
It's late, Mel.
Yeah, and it's okay. But no.
Yeah, she never.
You're gonna look it up, aren't you? Your foo is kicking in. You're looking it up.
She never heard of
Of a podcast.
Of a podcast.
She never.
I was right. It's called it's called My World in Words and Pages, but it's Melissa-Mel's World@blogspot.com. We'll have a link in the show notes. But she's interestingly enough, in the year since she's reviewed our work, her blog has taken off, and I think she's actually looking for someone to help her with it. It's become such a big thing.
So if you're someone who digs books and you want
reach out to Mel.
Now, but this is the thing about Mel though that we love. I mean, Mel, bless her heart. I mean, she had never heard of a podcast, and not only did she review our book, she reviewed every episode of Tales in the Archives.
Yes.
And, I mean, we were
really? I don't think she'd ever done any podcast.
No, she never had.
Place.
And she hooked up with PC Herring.
Yeah, she's now in the... We've drawn her into the podcast.
We've drawn her into the fold, you know? So, hey, maybe she'll be a guest in Balticon.
I heard some rumors she might be there.
Oh, wouldn't that be a stitch?
We'd
get her on the show. You know, hopefully, if we're doing live. Well, you know what? Even if we don't get on the docket at Balticon with a shared desk, we'll find a corner of the hotel and we'll go ahead and record a shared desk. But we'll talk more about Balticon a little later.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Anyway, the
Make
book bloggers your friends. Now,
don't be pushy.
But keep in mind that your friends are also allowed not to like a book.
Yes, they are.
So if you make friends with book bloggers and they don't like your book, you know what? Fine. Because they will tell you, look, the reason why this book blows dead bare is because ...
And you need those sort of people in
you
your
do.
Life, really.
You do. Yeah. Otherwise, you become George Lucas. So these are the things. Embrace book bloggers and remember, you know, brace yourself.
Stay
for
professional.
The stay classy.
And don't
stay
don't take it to Twitter and Facebook.
There you go. So, you know, I And since we're doing this on the fly, I do have actually, I do have something for us here.
Writers off the clock.
You do.
So what do you want to do?
Oh yeah, wait for it.
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know.
No idea.
So
I love that bumper.
Yeah, it's a fun bumper, and I mean, we would be amiss if we didn't talk about our current obsession. I mean, I can hear it in the next room.
What am I supposed to do? You won't answer my calls. You change your number. I mean, I'm not going to be ignored.
You know what I'm talking about. Give me an S. Give me a K. Give me a Y.
Skylanders.
Oh my God. Now, okay, let's
cut to the beginning.
We bought this for the boom.
Yeah, right.
They're seeing right through it. Damn.
Yeah, it's for the children.
It's for the child. It's for the child. Okay. So backing it up, we were visiting a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours. Actually, she was a fan of yours and became a friend of ours.
Friend of Starla's.
And
we'll Lisa Ann.
Lisa Ann. And Lisa Ann invited us over to her lovely house for dinner. And they were playing a game. her kid was playing a game called Skylanders.
And we were like, the boom, what is that?
What is this? And the boom sees it, and Sonic Boom is like,
combines my desire to collect things
now
with my desire to blow things up.
And at that time, we were kind of trying to work through things as parents do. Sonic Boom was getting a little.
She was turning into a teenager for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. At the tender age of seven, she was already
like,
she was already hitting the angst. We were getting a lot of emails. We were getting a few. Now the way the behavior system's set up, you know, you get green, blue, yellow, and then
red.
Well,
pull up,
you know, and so you know, we started docking her allowance, and I still remember
I still remember
her saying to me, you know, I said I'm taking away your allowance, and she looked at me, she went, I don't care.
What was that? Did you see that? Was that the primary buffer panel?
I mean, that's... I was staring at her.
And we're like, oh, we got nothing.
So we got... Yeah.
We're out.
Well, then, all the following day and the day after that, the boom talked about. And then I get this text from the lovely lady sitting across from me saying, it's right here. The portal, the starter pack...
It's right here in front of me.
It's right here. What do we do?
Should we get it?
I said, buy it. We bought it. We put it in front of Sonic Boom. She was itching, and I said, now here's the best part. You can look at it. You can think about it. But we're not opening it up.
I know you mean to be friendly, but I hope you won't take it amiss if I ask you to sod off and die.
Best accent I've ever heard her put on. So I said to her, no, you cannot open this.
You
cannot open
it. You have to earn it.
You have to earn it.
Oh man, she looked at me. She was she said,
"Have I got your attention now?"
Yeah, she said,
"Undivided."
She said to me, "Why do I have to earn it?
Yeah.
Why can't I just have it?"
That's...
Many is the time.
This is the worst moment of my entire life.
Are you ever going to leave those? Look, you are going to go blind if you keep playing with those drop-ins. Seriously. So, so Skylanders, we should explain. It works with Wii, with PlayStation 3, it works with Xbox 360. Basically, it's a collection of miniature figures. Like, there's a flame guy called Eruptor, there's a tech guy called... Cat just broke the shelf.
But he got up there. He got up onto the...
Sorry, we have to interrupt this and say that I went to a lot of trouble to put this shelf up.
I has the high ground.
And it looked pretty solid. And then, a 15-pound cat just propelled himself off it.
He literally ripped that out of the wall. Do you see that? Nice job, Bast.
Yes,
nice job.
That's what happens when you have a puma in the house.
Yeah. Now.
So they're different figures. You put them on this portal of power, which connects into your game system, and the character goes from being a figure to he is actually in the game, and you can play the game. And there are different figures, and there are different elements. There's nature and rock and fire and things. So it combines all the addictive elements of collecting things and gaming.
But then it goes even better because you want to handle that?
You spin it out.
So some of the other things about this game that are really addictive include things like the writing. The writing of this game is really clever. It's very fun. It's very light. It has a quirky Princess Bride kind of humor to it. Something else about this game, too, that is extremely fun is that if you find yourself in need of a different kind of character or if a different kind of element, because there are certain areas of the game that only life elements can go in there. Only magic elemental characters can go in there. Only tech character elementals can go in there. Well, then what you can do during gameplay is swap out one, put in another, and boom, the portal of power picks up and you're in there as the new character. Now, even better, the real gimmick about this game that's just that I'm like, wow, they really thought this thing through, is that, so hypothetical situation, let's say Pip has got Skylanders on the Wii, I've got Skylanders on the Xbox. I can play my character on the Xbox, and then I take my figure and I go over to Pip's house. Pip's got it for the Wii. It doesn't matter. I put my Skylander on Pip's Portal of Power.
Ooh, that sounds dirty.
Doesn't it, though?
Put my Skylander on your Portal of Power.
Booyah! I can pick up exactly where I left off with my other character. There's a chip in the Skylander base that basically keeps all of my stats.
That's so clever.
And
apparently this thing around before Thanksgiving was just sitting on the shelves.
Yeah, gathering dust.
And then I guess it must have been when people started giving them as presents. People were like, oh, I need this. So now it's like this hunting. There's like a competitive thing with the parents to try and find
Skylanders.
You go into Target, it's stripped clean. You gotta ask at Toys R Us, when does your truck come in? Because you want to get in there with the truck comes in. It's crazy.
It's nuts. But
we're doing well.
We're doing quite well. And now, but here's how the boom played into it. So we showed her this stuff and we said, yeah, you're pretty proud of yourself, aren't you, Bast? You're pretty proud of yourself.
We need to get a picture of that. So
yeah,
we do.
In fact, that might be the show art. So how does the boom figure into all this? So we show her this, and we show her the three character booster pack that
which included
a character called Sonic Boom.
Yes, which she's mad to get.
Yeah, she's mad to get Wrecking Ball and one other. I can't remember. It might have been
Stealth Elf. We know all the names. It's only been 3 weeks. We know all the names.
Stealth Elf, Flame Starter, Hex, Chop Chop,
Cinder.
But so anyway, and we said you can't have this yet. You cannot have this. And look at this.
Another cat just wandered in and went, Sebastian, did you just break the shelf?
And we bought it for her. It for Beatrice. And now she comes in going, hey, there's a shelf on the ground. Did you guys know that? It's like, geez, Beatrice, you're going to kill me. All right, back to boom. So Sonic sees all this and we go, here's the deal. You give us 2 weeks of green marks, of really good grades, because her grades were also starting to slip in second grade. Give us good grades. Give us good behavior, not just at school, but at home as well. And in 2 weeks, we'll open this
if
up.
If we
we'll
have to give you three warnings, you just have to start all over again.
Exactly. And then we said, okay, now for the three-pack. You're going to get Sonic Boom after 3 weeks of good behavior, good marks at school, and good behavior at home.
And my goodness.
For the past month, our child has been absolutely angelic. I mean, just mind-boggling angelic. And she's been bringing home good grades. She's been bringing home great marks in behavior. And she has been working through this. But of course, how we play into this is that we've been playing the game too.
We've been kind of enjoying the game too.
Boy, this game is fun.
We're just like, kid, you better keep up that great behavior because we need to play this.
Then I had to drop the bomb. I had to drop the bomb today because she was really pulling out the crankies today. And I said to her, I said, Sonic Boom, if you, and it was about of all things her dance class. And
which
I said, Sonic
loves.
Boom, which she loves. And I said, she wants to quit. And I said, Sonic Boom, if you quit, here's what's going to happen. You're going to reset the clock. We're going to reset the clock, and you are going to have to start earning your Skylanders one at a time again. But for the next month, we're not going to allow you to play. And on top of that, we will still play.
And we'll tell you about it.
And we will tell you about it. You can watch us play, but you yourself can't play. wow, she had an implosion. She was like, "You're being mean," and I went, "You're being a quitter." And she just kind of went, "You're right." And we had a father to daughter moment.
Yeah.
We got home.
I also told her that she would never ever see the ginger haired boy that looks like Ron Weasley.
Don't go
again.
There. Just don't. Sorry, don't go there.
But
don't
that works
there.
Too.
Yeah, that worked too. Yeah. So. So yeah, Skylanders, our latest distraction. Oh, but eventually, we'll write.
Recommended if you have children or not.
So, in closing, we have committed this week. We will be at Balticon this year.
Ding dong.
Yes. There was some confusion about RavenCon. There was some confusion about a few other events, but. I've had to back out of RavenCon mainly due to issues concerning the job.
Yeah,
the job hunt. That's got to come as first priority. So let's talk about that. We're going to be at Balticon. We are also proud to announce that the steampunk Emerald City Expo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the Emerald City Steampunk Expo.
We're
off to see the wizard. We're going to Kansas, baby.
I've never been to Kansas.
It's been a long time since I've been to Kansas, but
Wichita.
We were graciously invited by the folks at the Emerald City Steampunk Expo. Follow the link in the show notes to come on out and steampunk with them. Pip, you've got the dates there. When is it?
It's in November.
It's in November.
I don't exactly have the exact date.
But we're working on that. It's in November. So we've got Emerald City.
And we're definitely doing Dragon Con.
We have also, yes. Now, let me explain that. Concerning with the job loss, people are like, what? You're still going to Dragon Con? Well, yeah.
We already paid for that.
We paid for it. It is paid for. But you know what? We never say no to dinner. So if you want to buy us dinner, yeah, we're all over that.
And
you want to buy us drinks,
We're also pretty likely to be at Steampunk World's Fair. That's the other one.
Yeah, Steampunk World's Fair in Somerset, New Jersey, correct? Or they moved it.
Piscataway.
Yeah, Piscataway. The Somerset Piscataway area.
Yes. And that's in June. They've moved that.
Yeah,
so it no longer conflicts with... It was a week before Balticon.
It was a week before Balticon. So we will definitely be there. Those are the four definite places we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So in order, we're going to Balticon. We're going to be at Steampunk World's Fair. We're going to be at the at Dragon Con, and we're going to be at the Emerald City Steampunk Expo. So any of those events.
If you want us to be anywhere else, then please
talk to your local convention. Talk to your favorite steampunk convention. We are open to travel. It's just a matter of a compensation at this point.
Yeah,
and also interest. You know, people need to be people need to have an interest in this to have us come to their events, and. What else we got going on?
Let me see. Well, I've got a book coming out in May. That's the next big thing.
Gee, Flipper, tell us about that.
Yes. Well, the Janus Affair will be 29th of May, according to Amazon, so we're looking forward to that.
Got another book of the order coming out.
Sure, yeah, that's right. I've got
Wraith.
Yeah, in June, I've got Hunter and Fox coming out, and then in September, it will be Wraith. In last final edits for that.
This week. And at Dragon Con we're gonna see some throwdown between you and Sigler, right?
Apparently so. Okay, let's just back this up.
How's that for a segue?
Talk about taking it to Twitter.
This landing is gonna get pretty interesting.
Define interesting.
Oh God, we're all gonna die.
we love our Sigler, but
Siggy baby.
He was talking about the fact that. This year he's having three books come out and he's out for scalps and stuff like that. And I said, three books a year is awesome, doing the same myself. So leave me a few of those fantasy and steampunk scalps. And he said, none of my scalps are coming from those realms, so our hunting territories run nicely parallel. And I said, phew, no one seems to see a Kiwi Sigler throwdown at Dragon Con. Do they? And I must admit. Rob Suarez said that, would there be Jell-O?
Yep, there you go.
Really, no one wants to see that, I would have thought. Apparently, the great Merlin thinks that I would win.
Come on, boys, he's just one man.
One man dressed like a lunatic and armed to the teeth. Go get him!
Apparently another person said they'd pay to see it on pay-per-view.
There you hey. and thus T's financial woes
are all fixed.
Taken care of.
Well, it might take that, you know. You never know.
Oh man.
But yeah,
Dragon Con. It's already ramping up to be a hella good time.
It is going to be a nice thing, and this weekend you and I are getting away. I don't know how much writing we're going to be doing. We're going to have a little getaway to touch of Shakespeare at Stanton.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
And that is also already paid for.
Yes,
so.
Yeah. We had all these wonderful things planned, and then of course you know the job thing. But at least most of the big things were already paid for.
Yeah.
So there is that. So before we sign off, we do want to say that the show art, of course, comes courtesy of the lovely and talented J.R. Blackwell. By the way, big time congratulations to
Woo-hoo!
Jared and J.R.
They are the kind of people that should be breeding.
Yes, they are breeding. And go on ahead and check it out at jaredaxelrod.com and jrblackwell.com.
And say congratulations.
Congratulations, you two. We're really excited for you guys. We are also excited to report that the Shared Desk is a non-commercial,
non-derivative. Come on.
Share-alike 3.0 license protected by the Creative Commons. You can find out more about them at creativecommons.org. And we are pretty much done with this Shared Desk.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
We're gonna do some writing, or we're gonna do some your shape, something along those lines.
Oh, who are we kidding? We're gonna go play Skylanders.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're gonna do. So until next time, folks, enjoy the ride.
And I'll catch you later.